Well, thanks so much for joining us for this week's Tech Law 10 podcast. I'm Jonathan Armstrong. I'm in the UK. And Eric, you're in San Francisco, and you've been looking at a new hire by the Obama administration.
It's true, and I'll point out it's a very rainy, foggy San Francisco. It feels like winter. It's very odd, very dark. And maybe that's appropriate. I don't know. But thank you for the introduction. Let me lead off this way by saying, back in the day, our president, Bill Clinton, touted the development of the information superhighway. And then Vice President Al Gore, when he was later running for president, was inaccurately referred to as having said that he invented the Internet, which is kind of interesting. But, since those times long ago, the Internet has exploded and grown exponentially. And as we know, there many benefits, otherwise it wouldn't have grown, such as the potential to purchase a tremendous number of goods and services online, clearly the ability to communicate freely via social media portals such as Facebook and Twitter, and you and I are known to do that. And, of course, the Internet presents risks, and, we read in the news often, reports of privacy violations and security compromises. And, of course, our government here has been under the microscope a little bit lately when it's been revealed that potentially all citizens are having their Internet and phone communications looked at. So in the wake of these realities, the White House now is further seeking help to get hip with the issues by hiring Twitter counsel Nicole Wong. And Nicole Wong will occupy a new senior advisory position with an emphasis on Internet and privacy policy. She'll team with Chief Technology Officer Todd Park with a White House aim of dedicating more efforts to combating hackers. This appointment, Jonathan, appears timely to me. As I referenced, the Obama administration is currently dealing with the fallout from the revelations that the government has been monitoring phone and online communications of citizens as part of its efforts to fight terrorism, but that's gotten some people's hackles up. Ms. Wong is no stranger to Washington, D.C. While she was the legal director at Twitter, she testified before Congress regarding the threat of Internet censorship in other countries. And before that, she was a vice president and deputy general counsel at Google. And at that point in time, she advocated Internet freedom as a major tenet of foreign policy to our Senate Judiciary Committee. And also, while she was at Google, she was a key decision maker in dealing with government requests to remove objectionable links and content from YouTube. So, plainly, Jonathan, she has a stellar resume, and I'm hoping her advice and counsel will be valuable to help guide Internet policy for the Obama administration going forward. So all that being said, you're usually not at a loss for words. What do you have to chime in?
I think it's very interesting. There's about 1,000 different developments in Europe in the last week. It's been a really busy week in the tech space. But just to pick up a couple of those to pick up on your points, this morning, the European Union Court of Justice released the Advocate General's opinion in the big Google case in Spain that we were awaiting for, and maybe this is something that she'd looked at in her former occupation. But this case is very interesting. It concerns an individual who allegedly, been involved in various nefarious activities. And he, whenever you typed his name into Google in Spain, this particular individual alleged that the Google search engine referenced newspaper articles that repeated these allegations. And he said that he had a right to be forgotten under data protection laws in Spain, that basically he had the right to make sure that this never happened again. And basically the Spanish Data Protection Authority agreed with him. And this case has gone through the Spanish courts up to the European court. And the Advocate General is, if you like, the advisor to the court. And he is recommending that Google are not held responsible on the basis that there isn't a universal right to be forgotten. So I think in some respects it shows how the courts here are trying to grapple with social media issues. Just this last week we also had the Director of Public Prosecution in the UK issue new guidelines on who will be prosecuted for saying things on social media going forward. So some new rules for Twitter and Facebook prosecutions, which we might return to at a later date. But the other thing I wanted to mention that perhaps picks up on your theme, but in a different way, and I think this would be interesting to see if the Obama administration go down this route, is the Information Commissioner in the UK had his annual report on Thursday in Westminster, and I went along to that, and he had a number of interesting things to say, one of which was, as we've mentioned before, the ICO is using social media to direct the activity of the regulator so that, for example, you can file complaints using a sort of social media tool on the Information Commissioner's website, and then they will direct regulatory effort to those complaints that people care most about. And it's quite interesting how that seems to have influenced at least some regulatory activity. Enforcement in the UK of data privacy related issues was up 45% in 1 year last year. Number of complaints were up 10.3%. And an interesting warning sign, I think, which again, I guess, is relevant to the whole business of data grabbing by individuals, by corporations, and by governments, is that the ICO has said, at least as far as the UK is concerned, that putting up some long and meaningless privacy policy on your website will not legitimize that type of activity. Christopher Graham produced some statistics that said that if the average individual was to read the privacy policy of every site that he looked at, it would take 77 days out of every year of his life. And I thought that was an interesting statistic and perhaps shows how much we're using social media and other applications in our daily lives, but also I think was a firm message that data collection has to be much more managed, whether by individuals, as I say, corporations, or by governments. So was that a segue of at least a number of issues in response to your one, Eric?
No, that's good. And you know, I'm interested in what you say about the 77 days. You know, I frequently speak at conferences. I also teach law school and college classes, and I often ask the question to the assembled masses, you know, how often do you actually look at the terms and conditions of websites, including privacy policies? And you can guess how many people raise their hands, Jonathan. How many do you think?
Yeah, not a lot, I would guess.
Let's call it zero. It's essentially zero. People just click through, precisely because of what you say. They find it difficult. They find it difficult to read, and they also understand if they want to, you know, transact on a particular website, they really don't have that much choice, really. At least they feel that way. But that's maybe a subject for another Tech Law 10.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and I guess on that note, we probably should say adieu or adios, as no doubt the Spanish regulators saying to the court as we speak, and say hope that you join us again next week. And Eric, why don't you wrap up with the final details?
Yeah, as Arnold Schwarzenegger would say in one of his movies, hasta la vista, baby. this is Eric Sinrod in San Francisco with Duane Morris, ejsinrod@duanemorris.com. You can find us on via social media, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. I always like to leave it to Jonathan for the very end because it's just habit. So even though you turned it back to me, I'm flipping it back to you.
Well, thanks for listening. I'm JP Armstrong, DuaneMorris.com. And look forward to speaking to you all next week. Take care now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.